curious how and what he gets here. Amen. I appreciate the privilege of being with you. I thank God for all of you preachers that are here. All of you that have come visiting with us, we're grateful for you. May God richly bless you for it. A couple of things, and I promised you I'd talk very briefly tonight about the Rock of Ages prison ministry and what we're trying to do so that you can intelligently pray for us. As we've told you each night, we do have the little book, Six Messages. Six Messages. And this is for a love gift of $2.50 if you care for one of them. And then the folder of tapes. This is the tapes that are most requested. We have many, many tapes, but this is the most requested tapes that we have. The Three Crosses. I received a letter from South Africa not long ago where a young lady had been given this tape by a missionary. And she played it and wrote me a letter and said, I just wanted to tell you that I got born again while listening to it. Here's a message that I've preached years ago on why I can't quit. This message has been used by God in the life of more preachers, I guess, than any message that I've ever been given of the Lord. A man wrote out his resignation one Saturday, and on Saturday afternoon, after he had sealed the resignation up, he listened to this tape, Why I Can't Quit, and he tore up his resignation. That was been about 8 years ago, and he's still at the church. What would you do in that solemn day? Some things I want to leave behind. God's looking for a man scared to death. Is it wrong? A lot of folks want to know if something's wrong or not. Well, this will tell you. Above the average. These tapes, when bought like this, will cost less than $3 a piece. In this folder and the tapes, for a love gift of $20. If you care for them, they're here in the box. And if you don't, why, we're not trying to commercialize or turn into a peddler. I do want to tell you some things about the ministry. Does this come through the speakers too, preacher? Let me just step down here at the table so I can display some things that I feel like will be interested to you. And I want you to keep the children where they can see something. I'm going to show them in a minute. The Rock of Ages ministry is 5 years old. Our ministry is behind prison bars. In America, we have 1 million people, from just children up to 70 and 80 years of age. One man has been in prison for 65 years. Another man for 35 years. I've known the one that's been in prison for 35 years all of my life. We used to live in the same little town. He killed 2 men, and one of the men I knew personally as a kid. The ministry is to place missionaries in a prison. They don't just ramble around over the state, but they're assigned to a prison. Now, why? It's all right to go down to prison and preach, and they ought to. Preachers, you ought to. If God gives you the opportunity, you ought to do it. But there is a problem there. You can win a man to Christ there, and if you're not able to follow up, the cults will eat him up. 7-day disadvantages in that crowd will eat him up. All of these cults will run right in on him and have him so mixed up the next time you go back, you don't know what's happening. So our men are stationed. Consequently, they can win him and then follow up, keep teaching him. Our men stay in their own particular prison over 40 hours a week. They go there every day, Monday through Saturday, and then they're on call on Sunday. They are a chaplain, not paid by the state, and a contract is signed by the state that none of our men will ever be asked to compromise or in any way step aside from the Word of God that we believe. We will not. We will not. And I praise the Lord. We do not receive one dime from the state or the federal government. We are sponsored by the church and God's people. We are local New Testament church folks. We believe that what Christ does, he'll do through the church. We could never exist apart from the church. Our board of directors is Brother Bill Harvey, Vice President,
pastor of the Grace Baptist Tabernacle in Lenore, Tennessee. Our second vice president is Brother John Hill, pastor of the Zion Hill Baptist Church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Our director of printing is my brother Bobby. He's the pastor of the Bible Way Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia. I serve as the director. My wife serves as vice or as secretary treasurer. And then also our men are supplied from the home office at Rock of Ages Ministry. Our home office is located out in the country. Well, we're so far out in the country, we're nearly back in town. You can't get no further out in the country than we are. I mean, it's just at the end of the road. And the Rock of Ages Ministry, it's a twofold ministry. You can either support the missionary or the home office, which supplies our men with Bibles and all the materials that they distribute. And I'll tell you about that in just a minute. Some time ago, one of our missionaries found a prison, and I guess we've got more criticism for this than anything we've ever done. He found a women's prison that had no pews, no seats. The women were sitting down on the floors, and over 250 of them were coming to their chapel. He called me and said, "Preacher, can we furnish pews in that chapel?" And I said, "I'll order them." And we ordered $5,000 worth of beautiful oak furniture to place in the prison. I guess we got more criticism from that. One old helper lady called me and said, "They don't deserve no pews." Well, I said, "Lady, what's the matter with you? If we got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell right now. We'd ever one be in hell right now." And did you know what? If the churches had been what we ought to have been, a lot of those men and women wouldn't be in prison right now. And the only difference between them and us, they've been caught and we haven't been yet. Amen? Now, our missionaries, the first year we were in operation, we gave 16,000 gospel preaching tapes. Not only preaching tapes, but catalogs such as this. This is the complete book of Revelations, verse by verse. We placed these in the prison to be assigned to the prisoner by our own missionary, along with this little tape player. Every time I look at this player, I get blessed. It's wore out. They check them out for 3 days at a time and listen at them around the clock. 16,000 gospel preaching tapes the first year. I don't know how many since now. Then we produce now, or can produce, about 1,000 tapes per week. One person is assigned in the production of tapes. Let me say this. I did not know that I was going to, but we produce many tapes. We have 4 high-speed production or reproduction units that reproduces our tapes. Last 3 weeks ago, we had to have them overhauled. 3 weeks ago, we had to have them. All the heads were wore out, and we had to have them replaced. And the bill on it was $700 and some. We still owe $500. Would you help me pray about that, please? Just help me pray. That's not an ulterior motive. I didn't bring that up to try to get an extra offering, but I sure would like to pay that bill off this year. I really would. And it's not the matter of me getting something out of it, but they're fixed, and I'd like to pay it off and keep running tapes out for sweet Jesus. Amen. So I believe God's able, don't you? And I bless his name for that. I remember an 18-year-old girl wrote me a letter and said, "Brother Blue, I had tried everything, dope, sex, everything in the world, but my heart was so empty and black, and I couldn't find satisfaction. And one day I went down and checked out from one of your missionaries a tape and went back to my cell. And I just want to tell you, I got born again." I got born again. Thank God for that. Our print shop turns out many items. One day I was walking down Death Row, and I heard something way down the cell block. I knew it was a Negro man. It said, "What a fellowship, what a joy divine. I kept going on down, and I found a big old black man down on his knees, and he had one of our little song books that we print and give to the prisoner, and he had it laying down on the floor, down on his knees, singing. And I said, "Man, where'd you learn that?" He said, "My mama taught it to me." And we give out hundreds of these little song books, and many times here's one item that it's surprising how many doors this has opened for us. It's little pieces of stationery that we print. We hand these out by the case. Many of a prisoner's hard, and he say, "Get away from me, preacher. Don't want anything you've got." And I said, "Well, just had something I want to give you." "Oh, is that right?" I said, "Yeah, some stationery." "Well," he said, "I'll talk to you." I said, "I'll preach to you a little while before I give it to you." Amen. That's kind of, you got to be a little sneaky. Amen. And here's a little book that we print. It's not very big, but a lot of the cults, no boy will get saved. He don't know no Bible, maybe never saw one till we give him one. And he'll get saved, and along come one of these cults and say, "Oh, you'll be lost again." And they don't know no different. And here's a little book. It says, "Saved, safe, and secure." You know, if I wasn't a Baptist, I believe I'd shout right now. Amen. Saved, safe, and secure. And we give that to the old boys and girls that get saved. Here's a little book we print on after salvation. What should I know and what should I do? There's a lot of you can stand to read this. You got saved and sat down and you never have growed. You're like a wasp. You was bigger the day you got born than you are right now. Amen. And so here's a little book that's fill out. They've got to fill out things. It's got charts and many items in it that will be helpful to the young convert. Here's something that I'm very thrilled about. This is the Rock of Ages New Testament. It's the marked edition. The first year we gave 10 ton of these away. We buy these. We buy them by the ton. We need churches to help us. We really do. You can't go, but if you'll help us buy them, we'll hand them out. We'll hand them out. And it's the King James Version, by the way. We don't mess with nothing else. And if you do, I hope you catch the 7-year itch and get behind where you're scratching. Amen. This is printed by our print shop in Dalton. It's the book of John and Romans. We don't get a man that gets saved. We don't give him the whole Bible the day he gets saved. We believe that we ought to point a young Christian to these books, John and Romans. We believe that this is his basic reading. We believe he ought to start there. And after he finishes this, we give him a New Testament. And if we find that he's studying, then, of course, we give him a Bible, which is the good news for modern man, King James Version. Amen. 1611, amen. As Sammy Allen said, "I'm talking to you from the heart," amen. And I thank God, our print shop last year turned out 1.5 million copies of printed material to be used in penal institutions. Not only do we have our own print shop, but I'm very excited about this. We have our own video studios that are completely equipped. Beautiful cameras, $10,000 a piece. We have two of those. Beautiful cameras, beautiful equipment. We don't bring them into churches. You bring all that of cameras and equipment, start rolling it around and start this. You take people's mind off of the service and injure the service. But we bring old-fashioned preachers into our studios. I mean them old RBAP kind. That rare back and preach. Amen. We bring them to our studios, men like your pastor. And we bring good choirs and good singers and great teachers. And we put them on videotape like this. And then in turn we take these, and most prisons now have equipment where you can put these in and play it throughout the prisons. In the state of Georgia, on any given day, we can possibly reach, with one videotape, we can possibly reach 11,000 people on one given day. We're praying now that God will send us a producer and a director. We don't have one, and God will have to send a man that His life will be sold out to doing something for Jesus. He'll have to be a missionary. He'll have to raise his support. He'll have to get out and raise that support and then carry on the work there at the video studios. Prison ministry is a dangerous ministry. It's so dangerous. You can get killed before you even know what's happening. Some of those men would care no more to kill you than they would to look at you. It's so dangerous. We're dealing with the worst kind of criminal. Now, I want you to look very carefully at what I'm holding up. Look at it. It would not impress any gun collector. No gun collector would even be, he wouldn't even want it. Look very carefully at where my finger is at. You won't even recognize this probably as an instrument of death. This is a gun. It's killed one man. The barrel is made out of a toothpaste tube that has been rolled around a pencil. If you look carefully, you will see a little dot. Maybe you can't see it. It's a little black dot. It's where the fuse goes in. There's no hammer mechanism. There is no trigger. Here is the deadly charge, match heads and glass. They're placed in the barrel. It's only made probably to fire one time. In the barrel with some packing instrument, like the old-fashioned guns. The fuse is here. And out in the yard at exercise time, he'll pick out the man he's going to kill. And then with his lighted cigarette in his mouth, he'll walk up to him, light the fuse, and stick it against his chest. And he's dead. This has already performed its deadly duty. This has already done it. This is the kind of an environment that our men work in. This is the kind of place that God has put us. This is where we work. This is the field of labor God has placed the Rock of Ages ministry. Could I ask you to pray that God would send us dedicated men and women? You say women? Yeah, we're praying right now. There's a large women's prison in Georgia that God is going to put a man and his wife. They'll work as a team. A team. It's too dangerous to put a man in there by himself. The most dangerous prisons we work in are women's prisons. It's the most dangerous of all. You can get killed before you even know what happened. Pray for the Rock of Ages ministry. Pray that God would send support to the Home Office. Pray that God would send support to our missionaries. If any of you men would like for one of our men to come and present the work at your church, if you'll call our Home Office, and I'll be glad to give you the address and phone number at the close of the service, I'll be glad to have one of our men to contact you and let them come and tell your church about what we're trying to do. We'll be glad to answer any questions at the close of the service tonight, if you have any that you'd like to ask. Pray that God would let us win souls. That's our only desire. We have no other desire. And men, if any of you here right now have somehow got a strange idea that you'd like to try, I believe I'll try that kind of work. We're not interested in talking to you. We're just not interested at all. Don't take up our time or yours. But if suddenly God lets you know definitely, definitely that this is the will of God, we'd be glad to have you to come to the Home Office, be interviewed by the board of directors, and talk to your father. Thank you for listening. I hope I haven't bored you with this. I hope it's been useful by the Holy Spirit to cause you to pray for the Rock of Ages prison ministries. Pray that God would use us. Pray for the prayer request that we've laid before you. And we'll be glad to have you come and pay us a visit if you ever can. Open your Bibles now, please, to the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis. I'm going to use an outline tonight that most every preacher in the country has used. Some of the meat on the bone will be a little different. But I feel tonight God would have me to bring the message that he's laid on my heart. We're glad to see Brother Norman West and his wife. Our missions director, Brother Ron Garris, was down at their church recently. And I thank God for this church
and the mission work that's going on there at Cherokee. And there's a good mission work for you to sponsor if you don't have one, and God will bless you. You said, I thought you was trying to get sponsorship for the Rock of Ages. Norman and I aren't in competition. We're not in competition. We're just trying to get souls saved. Amen. That's all what it's all about. And you pray for these dear folks. In the book of Genesis, chapter 13, beginning our reading tonight in verse 10. And Lot lift up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zorah. Then Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelling in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelling in the cities of the plains, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Let's bow our heads, please. My Father, I come into your presence with great consciousness that unless the Holy Ghost does the preaching, it'll not be worth staying for. So I pray tonight for that heavenly anointing, for that unction, for that liberty that only God can give his preacher. Lord, help every preacher here tonight to pray for me just like they would want me to pray for them if they were up here preaching tonight. Help them to lift my hands up before the throne of God's grace. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' sweet name, amen and amen. The account of Lot and Abraham is one that I feel sure that most Bible readers have one time or another read in their course of Bible study. There are so many things about the account of Lot and Abraham that ought to quicken the minds and the heart of every born-again child of God. It shows me so many things that I personally need to know. It gives me so many things that I see that can happen to me if I don't stay close to God. It lets me know that I am no source of power within myself, but I must cling to the Rock of Ages. Here's a man named Abraham. And the first thing I note in this account is the mistake made by Abraham. Here's a man that walked with God, but he too made a mistake. Now let us not major on the account of how big the mistake was. I say this tonight, and I don't think many of you did it. I hope you will. Partial obedience is total disobedience. I'll say that again. Partial obedience is total disobedience. In other words, when God says something, he means for it to be done exactly like he says it. God said to Abraham, get thee out from thy country and thy kindred. Get that. And thy kindred. Did you get it? And thy kindred unto a land that I will show thee. It appears at first glance that Abraham is going to follow God's command to the letter. But before you know it, I find a nephew, Lot, traipsing along behind Uncle Abraham. And God had said, get thee out from thy kindred. He didn't want that nephew there. He wanted Abraham to burn the bridges behind him. Get out from the kinfolks and everybody.
I feel some preaching coming on. Get out of here, Abraham. Get out of here. I want you to leave them behind. But notice now, here's Lot. Here's Lot coming along behind him. And now it comes time. There's a quarrel that comes up between the herdsmen of Abraham and Lot. And Abraham said, Lot, let not there be strife between thy herdsmen and my herdsmen. And he said, Lot, just pick you out of the way and go. And we got to separate here. Abraham was wise enough to know that there was a separation needed. And he said, Lot, just go your way. Just go any way you want to. I'll take what's left. And so we see the separation take place. But before it takes place, I want you to notice what happened. Oh, how sad this is. The Bible said that Lot looked down and saw that the plains were well watered everywhere. Grass and water. Oh, how tragic a mistake is made here. Here's a man that had a family. Here's a man that had a wife and daughters and children, and he cared more about the needs of the cattle than he did the needs of his family. I'm going to tell you, you better not make a move. I don't care how much money the company offers you to move down to another section of the country. I don't care if they double your money. You better check first of all and see if there's an old-fashioned Bible-believing church down there where you can get your children under the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Some of you got your minds more on money than you have God. Amen. And Lot looked down and saw water and grass. I heard old Olaf say one time that he traded grace for grass. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. Here's a man that looked down and said, we're going that way. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And here's his family goes along with him. Now then tonight, the outline, and you can jot it down if you want to. I heard it somewhere a good years ago, and God's let me use it many times in this message. But I want you to see something. Here's the way sin will do you every time. This is a classic account of how sin handles a man. Let me tell you something right now. You are no match for the devil. You cannot handle him. The day you bow your little puny back up and said, I'll not do this, and devil, I can handle you, you are crazy. Amen. I want you to know you no match for Slewfoot. It takes the power of God to handle him. Amen. No, Lot said, we're going that way. And he pitched his tent that way. But notice now, I want you to see this. Sin will always take you farther than you meant to go. Amen. Oh, I imagine Lot said, well, we'll just go down there and get us a little grass and get the cattle good and fat, and we'll get out of there. We're not going to go too far. How many of you sitting here right now, you never intended to get in the mess you're in right now? Sin, the devil, took you just a little step at a time and just enticed you a little bit more. You didn't mean to turn into the individual you are right now. You didn't mean to go as far as you have. But some of you right now, your life is so messed up. Some of you right now are involved, maybe immorally, maybe in some kind of crime or some kind of sin. You didn't mean to go there, but the devil led you there. Amen. The devil don't start you out by saying just jump in head over heels. He gradually leads you along. Amen. Christians don't backslide just like that. It's a gradual thing. You never got mixed up in that triangle that you're in right now just like that. You didn't do that. But you've gone farther than you meant to go. Amen. You've gone farther than you meant to. The devil said, Lot, why, you don't have to get involved in Sodom and Gomorrah. All you're going down that far is the grass. How many of you go to a Christmas party Well, you said, I'm just going over there. It's our company's party. The devil said, why, that's right.
Yes, sure.
Wonder what you'd look like with a backbone. You might even get to where you could wear a hat or something. Amen. Wonder if you ever thought about just saying, no, I ain't a ghost. And then when they say why, you can preach to them about an hour. Well, you're getting as quiet as warmed over death. See, the devil starts out by little things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. He never said, Lot, you go down there and find you a nightclub and get you at a disco and get right out there in the middle of Sodom. He never said that. He said, boy, your cattle needs that grass. Boy, they really need that. Why, look at that old poor cow. That man, she'd have waiting down there in that belly-deep grass. Man, she'd be getting 15 gallon a day. Lot said, well, you know, that may be right. I never have seen no grass like that. See, the devil will show you ways and trick you and lead you ways you never had dreamed about. Amen. I was in a service in West Virginia. One night after the service, a little old girl. I was talking to some more folks down here, and I saw a little old girl standing over there, about 20 years old, maybe. I talked to these folks, and she stood over there with her head bowed. And I said, young lady, can I talk to you? And she said, yes, sir, you can. She said, preacher, don't ever quit preaching that message. And I said, well, I don't plan to, but why? She said, some time ago, some of my friends asked me if I'd ever smoked any marijuana. And I told them I had not. And they said, you ought to try some. You can quit any time you want to. It's not addictive. You can just stop any time you want to. You don't have to keep on doing it. Boy, don't that sound just like the devil? Don't that just sound just like him? Said, you can stop. And she said, preacher, I tried it. And I said, well, I believe I'll quit. And one day some folks come around and said, well, we got some pills here that'll just make you float off. And just you ought to try one of them. Well, to make a long story short, she tried one thing and then another. And she started unbuttoning that little old, those sleeves, that little faded out blouse. And she said, preacher, she pushed up her sleeves and right in here where the veins are, they just stood up in knots. And she said, my veins won't take the needle no more. I'm a narcotic addict. So they won't, the veins won't take it no more. And said, now, and she raised her tongue like this. And she said, I stick the needle under my tongue and I shoot the dope under there. And she said, preacher, to raise money, I prostitute all day long. I sell my body for $1 or $2 or anything that I can get just to get a few dollars to buy my dope. I slept in a cardboard box in an alley last night. Don't you sit there and look at me tonight like I'm not telling you right. Some of you saying, why, that can't happen to me. The devil's laughing at you right now. Devil's laughing at you. That little old girl never thought she'd wind up like that either. She never thought she'd go that far. See, sin will take you farther than you meant to go. Some of you kids sitting here right now said, why, I can get off of that. Why, man, I can just get off that anyhow. Yeah, but the devil will have something else for you to try. Amen. Well, God's leading me this way. Let me get over on something else right here. There are some of you right now, some of you women or some of you men right now, the devil's been leading you down the trail of lust. Maybe started down there on the job, or maybe through a phone call, maybe through some little flirtatious thing, and you said, oh, we don't mean anything, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you, turkey. The devil will wind you up in adultery and fornication. Well, you said, I can handle myself. Now you mark my word, friend of mine. You're no match for the devil. If David fell and men like David fell, you better shine the appearance of evil. And some of you silly women, some of you act like you've got just about enough sense to dot an I. You sit around and watch that stupid, lustful, hellacious soap opera. One woman crawling in the bed with another man, and one man crawling in the bed with some other man's wife, and you sit there in your mind and you begin to think on that mess. What's the matter with you? There that turkey is, come in so suave, and you sit there and watch him, and then that husband that's worked for you all day comes in with greasy hand, a pair of old dirty overalls, and he don't smell good, and all of a sudden your mind goes back to that mess. Haven't you got half sense, heifer? What's the matter with you? Some of you old men, if you don't watch yourself, you rascal, you'll get around out here and your eyes will start roaming. And if you don't watch out, that old mind will start flirting. You better stop hollering amen so loud, you may be next on the devil's target. You said you called me a heifer, and I'm mad. If your phone's not ringing, what are you trying to answer it for? I'm going to go ahead. I'm amazed at the stupidity of man. Saul got example after example after example after example that God's give man in the Bible. And he said, well, now that won't work on me. Honestly. That's all the brains you got. Don't sleep on the side of your head. Your brains will run out your ear. Sin always take you farther than you meant to go. That's walking down death row. That's talking to a man in a cell. And I heard a young man say, hey, preacher. Hey, preacher Blue. Next cell. And I said, boy, do you know me? He said, yes, sir. I used to go to your church when you pastored in Jacksonville. I said, you done what? I sure did. Death row, folks. I'm talking about not the county jail, death row. Death row. Are you listening to me? Are you? How many of you listen to me? Just kind of wave at me a little bit, amen? Don't sit there and look like a calf looking in the new gate, amen? Stay with me. If you're here, stay. Let me know it every once in a while. And I said, death row? And he said, yes, sir. I got out here. I started taking dope one night and picked a little old girl up that had been a restaurant waitress. That's in the same little old town I used to live in, Orange Park, Florida. He took her out and stabbed her 17 times. Took a knife and ripped her open all the way. Reached his hands inside of her and pulled her liver and her heart and her intestinal tract out. And threw them over under a palmetto bush. And filled her body up with sand. Now, let's go back just a little bit. Just what I said, well, now, boy, that was predestinated murder. No. That night, the devil said, but you need something to kind of pick you up a little bit. You're kind of down. You just need to be picked up just a little bit. The best picker up that a child of God ever had in his life is to find him an altar and get on his knees. And pray, at least touch the horns of the altar. Amen. Mary sits and he said, preacher, I'll walk through that door right down there one day. See, here's something that you're not even thinking about. Here you are playing like you're playing with a rattlesnake to see if you can beat. I'm not going to get close enough for you to get me. And the devil said, why, that's right. You're smarter than everybody else. Man,
You're just, why, you're groovy. You're cool. Oh, I mean, you've got it all together. What's the matter with you? Look at the trail down through this Bible. That men that tried to play with sin. Some of you say you like straight preaching until you start plowing your row, and you don't like it then. You like it on the radio where you can cut it off when it gets too rough, don't you? You like it on a track so when you read something and it starts nibbling at you, you can throw it down. But here you are, fastened down tonight with 6'3", 220 pounds of heavenly loaded ammunition in front of you, and you got to sit here and take it. Amen. Well, you said I'll get out of here after a while and I'll get over it. No, this message will go home and get in the bed with you. Sin will always take you farther than you meant to go. Didn't mean to go that far. As a Nashville penitentiary preached one night in the women's prison, one of the prettiest women I ever saw. Honestly, she'd make some of Hollywood girls look like a scrub woman. Beautiful. I mean, beautiful. Gave the invitation and down the aisle she came. Hallelujah. Got on her knees and got saved. And I said, young lady, what are you doing here? She told me the tragic story. Working on a job. Her and her husband had a little old family fuss or something, like every family has. She went to the job and the devil had some Romeo there to say a kind word to her, listen to her side of the story and sympathize with her. Then it was just a pat on the shoulder. Little kind word. Next day it was, how are you, darling? Is he being good to you? Then it wasn't a pat on the shoulder. It was, come here, darling. I put my arms around you. Then it was a phone call over to her house. Just wanted to call and see if you're all right. Oh, it's getting quiet, man. Next was a motel. In those words that lust had built in the heart of both of them. I love you. Lust. Sin was leading Father than she meant to go. That old boy that's her husband working hard, didn't know nothing's going on, was a carpenter. Set his toolbox down on the porch one night as he came in. His wife hadn't come off her shift. Set his toolbox down on the porch. She came up on the porch that night and reached in the toolbox and got a hand axe. A hatchet. Just a hatchet. Slipped into the bedroom where he was sound asleep and buried it in his skull. And she kept chopping till there was just about that much of his backbone sticking out. Well, that won't ever happen to me. I mean, he and I know that we're just, you know, we ain't gonna get messed up like that. We're just, you know, having a good time. Shut up, silly. You silly thing. I said you're silly. I say you're stupid.
I say you're crazy.
Amen.
You can like it or love it.
Amen.
I'm not on your payroll, so you can't cut me off.
Amen.
Preached a meeting here a while back, and my offering was $14. Hold it, you haven't heard the rest of it yet. See, God put me on His payroll years ago, and I've been trying for 36 years to tell it like it is to men like we are. They handed me $14 and as cold as ice. And I shouted over that $14 and went the next Sunday morning to a little old country. That he set in the gate. That shows me that he was involved in the policy making of that terrible, wicked, perverted city. Sodom and Gomorrah was a homosexual, and I pardon the expression, hotbed. It was a perverted city. It was fallen and depraved, and God destroyed. But notice something there. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Lot, that didn't mean to go that far and didn't mean to stay that long, here he is involved in the political structure of that city. Now then, let's find out something. How did he get in that position? Now think. How does a politician get in a position? He's voted in. Who votes him in? The constituency. Or the members of that so-called county or section. Lot had to be buddies to that crowd or they'd have never voted for him. Boy, I'm glad that one thing I know who's against me. Boy, when the devil starts voting for me, I know something's wrong. Amen. He said, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. If you were of the world would love you, but you're not. A boat's made to stay in the water, but not the water to stay in it. Hello. Some of you right now, God bless your heart, you're waterlogged. You know, it's amazing. I try to keep my cool. But it's amazing how God lets me come into a church I've never been in my life and don't know nobody. And God just shows me as plain as He is writing it on the wall. Some of that bunch of turkeys just sit there and endure me. I might as well tell you, honey, God showed me who you were the first night. I mean, I could tap you on the head. I don't know who you is. And you mess with me and I will. There are some folks tonight that's got Brill Cream religion, just a little dabble to them. Now you don't bother me looking at your watch, honey, but when you begin to shake old Mickey Mouse to see if he's still running, I feel like knocking a knot on your head. You'd have to climb a ladder and scratch. When God sent me here to tell it like it is and to preach it gun barrel straight, and you sit there with that sanctimonious, a so-called heavenly glow on your face, you're a hypocrite. You say, are you in the flesh? Ain't none of your business. You like to push me too far now last night. I like to got your chin while it's down between your knees and lift it up and said, I'm preaching to you, hoss. Don't pull that trick on me no more. Here's a man that fell so far and went so far that the dirty world voted him in. Amen. And some of you right now, stand so close to the world in your religious association and affiliation with God so called and the church so real that the world says, well, they're not so religiously inclined, they'll bother us. We can vote them in our clubs and we can put them in our organizations and we can get along so good, and that's the reason a skunk and a polecat gets along. They didn't know nothing about Lot's righteous soul. They didn't know nothing about it. They didn't know nothing about it. Ah, honey, I want you to know I'm a child of God before you know I'm a Baptist. Me and my wife and daughter was going through Illinois one time and we'd run out of money. My little old girl said, Daddy, I'm so hungry. We didn't have no money to buy no gas. We didn't have no money to buy no food. We're just going to drive till the gas give out. I said, let's bow our heads and pray. We stopped that old car and prayed. Holy Ghost said, go in at the next restaurant. The next restaurant had a big sign out in front that said, our specialty, chicken and dumplings. We went walking in just like we had a pocket full of money. Little waitress said, follow me and seat us at one of the tables. We took up that menu and looked at her. I said, we'll have three orders of chicken and dumplings. I bowed my head and said, now, Lord, you know I'm broke, don't you? But, Lord, I'm hungry. And you said you never saw the righteous forsaken or your seed bagging bread. God, I ain't got no money, but my little old girl's hungry. I'm going to feed her if I have to wash dishes. Boy, we eat, and my little girl said, Daddy, I want some pie. I said, we'll have three pies, please. With ice cream. They handed me that ticket. I said, Lord, here we go. I walked up to the counter. And the little girl said, it's already paid for. Walk with God. Walk with God. Walk with, I say, walk with God. Amen. I drove to the next gas station, said, fill her up. Boy, my wife was in that car, her head down, just that old boy stuck that nozzle in that tank. I laid my arm around him and I said, young man, do you know the Savior? He said, oh no, another preacher. I witnessed to him and he run it over out on the ground. And he said, preacher, it's on me. Go, go, go. You said, which is the best? Living for Jesus. Take the whole world, but give me Jesus. Take the whole world, but give me Jesus. Sin will take your farther than you meant to go. Sin will keep you longer than you meant to stay. How long did you stay? Stayed long enough to lose his power? Stayed long enough to lose his testimony? Stayed long enough to lose his vision of his own children dying without God? It's the saddest day in your life when you can't even see your own children wrong. It's a sad day in your life when your children are lost and you don't even know it. It's a sad day in your life when your husband or your wife needs the Lord and you can't even pray for him. Oh, the sad thing. Sin had kept him longer than he meant to stay. God had to send some angels down to almost literally drag him out. On his way out, the only thing that he came out of town with was a wife and two daughters. And he lost his wife on the trail, turned to a pillar of salt. Now then, I want to close the last point. Sin will not only take you farther than you meant to go, keep you longer than you meant to stay, but it'll cost you more than you meant to pay. Go down death row and see those fine-looking young men. They never made no drive to get in there. They had not planned to wind up there. But payday is going to be the same. Payday is going to be the same. Well, he said, old Lot got at least got his two daughters out of there. Well, I'll have to say amen. He did, didn't he? He sure did. He got them out of there. But wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Hold everything just a minute. The fire had fell and the ashes were there and destruction had come to Sodom. Here was an old man with no grandchildren around him and son-in-law's dead back in those ashes. And a wife standing by the trail turned into a pillar of salt. I don't hear the low of a cow. I don't hear the bleating of a sheep. Pockets empty. Bankrupt. Two girls. Wait a minute, I believe the girls are over here talking. Let's walk over here and see what they're saying. One said, have you saw any men? Other said, I haven't saw no men. We're out here, but I said, there ain't no men around here. She said, I got to have a man. See, he'd got them out of Sodom, but he hadn't got Sodom out of them. Go ahead. Go on. Let those children hang around with that loose living world. Let them stand out on the street corners till midnight and 1 o'clock in the morning. Go ahead. Let them sit there and watch stuff you know they oughtn't to watch. Go on. Go on, honey. Go on. But you'll remember an old preacher that stood up in front of you one of these days and said, it'll cost you more than you meant to pay. Let that little old girl start out looking like the world when she ought to still be playing with paper dolls. Let her paint her face and let her try to act grown up. You better let her stay a little girl as long as she can. Said, I just got to have a man. Well, she said, there ain't nobody here but Daddy. Daddy's the only man around here. And those two girls were so depraved and so far in sin. One of them said, I'm going to get Daddy drunk. Now, don't get mad at me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a Christian and a gentleman, and I'm not going to get vulgar. But she had intercourse with her own daddy. Don't get mad at me for telling the truth. What's the matter with you?
They can talk like everything on that stuff you watch. And I just get up and get a little plain, and you get mad at me. You sit there and listen to the language that's not even fit for the gutter. But I can get up here and preach just a little plain. And you said, I think he's getting too plain. I think you need to get right with God. Now imagine they got off after she'd had relations with her daddy and said, how was it? All right. Sure it's all right? Yes, all right. Well, she said, I think I will. It was a sad day when old Lot set out somewhere in the wilderness and two little old kids that had been born to them girls called him Papa, maybe. When in all reality, he was their dad. You go on, hot shot. You go on, you that with hearts so hard and heads so high and lifted that you won't listen to God's men. There will be a payday somewhere down the road. You cuss preachers for telling you the truth. We is either a little bit too long or we said things. I don't think preachers ought to say that. We preached a little longer than your Mickey Mouse watch thought we ought to preach. We got a little harder than you thought we ought to get. And we said a little something about money that injured your vanity.
God said in Numbers 32, verse 23, be sure your sins will find you out. And in Proverbs chapter 1, he said, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You said it not all of my counsel and would none of my reproof. In the book of Galatians, God said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap? Some of you are sitting here tonight and God's plowed through your life. God shined the spotlight of the heavenly gospel on you and you said he's talking to somebody else. No, God's rattling your chain. And what you do today to do tonight is to fall on your knees and say, God, not another step will I go. Not another step will I go. My dear brother preacher, it's a sad thing. I'm looking over this congregation. There's some of them are sitting there right now. They're throwing this over their shoulder. They're not listening to me. They're not listening to me, preacher. They're not listening to me. There are some of you not paying a bit of attention to what I'm saying. And God in heaven is sending you a message.
Yes, amen.
I say God is sending you a message. You better hear me. Your home is drifting. Your home is getting colder. There's no family altar, no power of God, and the church is being cussed, and the preacher's being persecuted. One of these days, down to prison, one of my men will hand one of these through to a son or a daughter.
That's right. That's right.
Sun's going down on America.
That's right.
I believe with all my heart America's had it. I don't believe there's any chance for America to come back. We've turned her down. There's some of you tonight, when we give this altar call, you'll grab the back of that bench and you'll stand there and say he's talking to somebody else, and the Holy Ghost has been plowing through your soul saying you need to go. And you'll say, not me tonight, not me tonight, not me tonight. God said, I'm stretching. He never said, I'm just reaching out my hand. He said, I'm stretching.
I'm stretching. I'm really stretching. I'm trying to get to you. And you set at naught all of my counsel. Come on, ladies and instruments, I'm give out. Now, folks, don't, please don't move no more than you have to. The Holy Spirit's the most sensitive person here. If you don't watch out, you'll grieve him. God's dealing with some men and women here tonight. Some boys and girls. Now listen, I've been troubled. I know God for two nights, three nights, has sent messages one after another to some people's hearts. And you haven't listened. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not the greatest preacher you'll ever hear and ever see. I believe with all my soul, God has sent some messages your way. There are some of you sitting here tonight. Oh, you said, I'm not a drunk. Listen, but you've allowed your life to drift into coldness, deadness. Some of you right now, you quit tithing, you quit praying, you quit living for God. Tonight you ought to hit this altar and say, God, I don't want sin to take me farther than I meant to go. I don't want sin to keep me longer than I meant to stay. I don't want sin to cost me more than I meant to pay. Softly, please. I wonder who it is. I wonder if it'll be some of you that nobody recognizes as an iceberg. They don't know how cold your heart is. They don't know how bitter and rebellious you've got. Sin's leading you step by step farther and farther. Or a daddy or a son or a daughter. I wonder who it is that sin has got by the hand and is gradually leading you, Father, than you meant to go. But the bottom line, payday is on the way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't look around, please don't. I know what I'm talking about. There's somebody here tonight that needs to hit this altar. Somebody here tonight needs to get right with God. I know what I'm talking about. I ain't lying to you. I know I'm telling you the truth. Come on, son. That's the way, preacher. I heard a young man I believe means business. Come on, girl. You can sit there and be stubborn if you want to, honey. God's plowed your corn tonight. I wonder if there's a head bowed, eye closed. I wonder if somebody here right now that said, preacher, come on, son. Come on. There's another young man. There comes another one. Son, get on your knees. That's the way, honey. Come on up here. Little old girl, darling, get down on your knees right over there. There's some of you others right now sitting there. Your hearts are trembling and God's dealing with you and you know He is. You're trying to be stubborn. Young lady, you're sitting back there rubbing tears away. I've already watched God deal with you. You better get up from there tonight and you better say, God, I'll not let the devil lead me no farther. I wonder who will raise your hand and say, preacher, please pray for me. Oh, I don't want to go this way. I don't want to go no farther. I know I need to get right with God. I wouldn't want to die like this. I wonder how many hands will go up, sinner or backslider or whatever you are, and say, by that, pray for me, preacher. I wonder who will raise that hand back there in that crowd and say, Brother Blue, I know I need to get right with God. Raise it up high. Hold it up high right quick and say, I know I need prayer. Would you do it? Would you do it? Would you do it? Yes, I see you back there, lady. Yes, son, come on. That's the way. That's the way, son. Come on. Come on. Come on, preacher. One of you to meet this fine looking yellow over here, son. Right over us. That kneel with that boy right over there, right there. Oh, some of you others. Oh, don't do what you're doing. For God's sake, don't do it. God's dealing with you. You're sitting there rebelling against God. Oh, come on. Just get up out of your seat. Don't wait. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost. My Father, my blessed Heavenly Father, right now, on the first verse of the song, there's a dozen that ought to come. God, there's a dozen that ought to come tonight. Have your way, I pray, and may everyone tonight the Holy Ghost is dealing with, may they come for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's stand together, please. While we sing, would you mind God tonight? Would you do it? Sing it now.
162.
Come on. Come on right now. I mean, you mind, God.
Sing it.
Just as I am.
Come on! I'm begging you tonight not to rebel against God.
But that
come on right now. Come on right now.
For thee.
Would you mind, God?
And
would you mind,
thou
God?
Bids me.
Will you listen to God?
To thee.
Oh, Lamb of God.
Of God.
Oh, blessed Lamb of God.
I come.
Sing another verse, brother. Sing on.
Just as I am and waited not to return
my soul
upon dark clouds to thee, whose blood
can cleanse
each spot,
Lamb of God.
Of God, I come.
I come.
I come.
I want every head bowed, every eye closed, every Christian to pray. I'm not going to make a lot of propositions. I'm going to make this one and act accordingly. Son, stay down here at the front somewhere, would you please? Stay down here at the front, son, just a minute. The preacher will maybe have something to say to you. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't look around. I want to see the hands of those right now that can say, preacher, there's nothing between. Everything's clear. I can get a prayer through. There's nothing between my soul and my Savior. I mean, I know it's clear between me and God. I want to see you raise your hand if you can say that. How many can raise that hand up and say, there's nothing between? Not a thing. It's clear. Take them down. Every head bowed, please don't look. There's many of you that could not raise your hand. There's some things blocking your prayer life. God said in the book of Isaiah 59, said your sins are separated between you and your God and hid His face from you that He will not hear you. There's some of you right now, some things in your life you know that ought not to be there. You know there's some things that's not right and God's not pleased with, and you know you need to get right with God. Wonder how many of you that could not raise your hand and say there's nothing between. Wonder how many of you lift up that hand and say, preacher, there is, and I know I need prayer. Would you pray for me? There's some things that's not right in my life. Would you raise that hand right now and say, pray for me? Slip it up. Slip it up. Ain't nobody going to embarrass you. I want to see your hand. Oh, my God, you know it's there and won't even ask for prayer. You know it's there and won't even say, pray for me. Oh, God, tonight. God, help you, Lord. Do help you. My Father, thank you for power. Thank you for liberty tonight. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Oh, God, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen, Pastor.
Brother Berta, let's sing another stanza. Maybe somebody else needs to come. While we sing this stanza, will you come? Obey the Spirit of God. You'll be glad you did.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within, without, Lamb of God, I come.
Amen. I want you to tell them what the Lord did for you tonight.
Save me tonight.
Amen. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that wonderful? Thank God. The Lord's
that's
still
the way,
saving
you. Go right ahead. Ain't no all the call ain't over you.
Amen. That's right. If you need to come, come on. Praise God. Amen. Some of you ladies want to come?
Yes. Amen.
To pray. Amen. Thank God. If you need to come, you've got plenty of time to come.
Lord, save me.
God bless you. Amen. Okay, what about you coming over here? Just a minute. Amen. Just tell them what the Lord did for you tonight. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Three precious people saved tonight. Amen. How many is going to pray for them? Amen. Okay, just play another stanza there, brother. Sing another stanza. Praise God. Somebody else might need to come while they're praying this lady. If you need
just
to come on.
Yes. I am poor.
Just like you are. You don't have to wait to get better. That you can't get better till you get right with God anyway. Amen. Yes. Thank God.
I need in thee new final Lamb of God I come. I come.
Folks, God's doing business tonight. He's doing business tonight.
Just
I tell you, God wants to touch you. God wants to do something for you. Somebody else needs to come. God's speaking to somebody else. Why don't you just obey Him? Why don't you just mind Him tonight? You can leave here rejoicing. Get rid of all that condemnation, all that guilt. Why don't you just come? Just obey Him tonight.
Of God I come.
Yes, Lord, I come. Will you come tonight? Will you come while we pray with ease? Just keep us singing. You still got time to come.
Without one plea.
Yes.
But that thou blood was shed.
Yes, it was shed for you. His blood will cleanse every spot, every blemish, everything.
To thee, O Lamb,
yes,
of God I come. I come.
Every bow, please, every eye closed just for a moment while they still play on the instruments, while they're still praying here in the altar. I wonder tonight if you've obeyed God. I wonder if every person here has obeyed the Spirit of God. I know some of you hadn't tonight. I know some of you hadn't obeyed God. Why don't you just obey the Spirit of God? Why don't you do what God's telling you to do? Down deep in your heart, you know you need to come to these altars tonight and get right. You know you need to get right. You know you're not right. If you had to face God tonight, you know you'd be unprepared. What are you waiting on? What do you expect God to do? You expect God to hit you upside the head with something? You expect God to send an angel down and flood around you and tell you that you're lost? He's not going to do that. But He sent His word through His messenger tonight. God sent His word through His ambassador. And He's telling you to come. He's telling you to come. And God will help you tonight. God will do something for you. He can save you. Or forgive you, whatever you need tonight. He's got what you need. If you need life, He's got it. If you need forgiveness, He's got it tonight. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why leave tonight like you are? One more stanza. If nobody comes, we're closing. One more stanza, brother.
Just as I am,
yes,
and waited,
yes,
not,
yes,
spirit, my soul of one dark plot.
Yes.
To thee.
Think about it.
Whose blood.
Every sin, every blot, every bit of guilt, condemnation, everything, take it away. You just come to Jesus.
Of God.
You just come to Him.
I come.
Yes.
I come.
I said we're going to close. If nobody came, somebody came. God's wanting to touch some other heart tonight. God's speaking to somebody else here. I guarantee you, God's talking to somebody else.
Amen.
We're going to sing another stanza. We're going to sing till I get through praying this boy. If God's talking to you tonight, you still got time. Come on. Sing, brother.
Just as I,
yes,
am.
Somebody else.
Come on. Obey the Spirit of God tonight. Do what God's
early
telling you to do. He'll be glad you did. He'll be glad. You can leave here cleansed. Shout the victory.
And fears within.
Yes.
Without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Yes, I come. Why don't you say, Lord, I'm going? Yes, amen.
Just as I am.
This is it if nobody else comes. We still got time.
Blind,
you don't have to go home tonight and roll a bed. You don't have to go home tonight like you came. Go home tonight forgiven, cleansed, saved by grace.
To find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Yes, amen.
I come.
I wonder if this lady back here, where'd she go? She want to testify? Would you like to say something? Yes, yes, amen. Yes. Oh, praise God, yes, praise God. Yes. Amen. Amen. How many's going to pray for it? Let's see your hand. Pray for it before you go to bed tonight, okay? Where's this boy came? Where's he at? There's another boy came. Where's he? Oh, okay, okay, amen. Okay. How many glad you came tonight? Let's hear say amen. Amen. Thank God. Y'all can go to see if you want to. We appreciate you coming tonight. Appreciate all these visiting folks who've been with us. I trust you'll come back tomorrow night. Expect great things from the Lord. It's been great tonight. It's been great all week, praise God, yes. And I'll tell you, we're expecting a great time on tomorrow night. So spend some time with the Lord tomorrow, at least 15 minutes for the service tomorrow night. Invite at least 3 folk to the service tomorrow night. You say, well, if we get any more, we won't have no place to put them. Oh, we still got some aisle down that way and up here. We still got a choir. If we have to, we'll put them up here in the choir. Amen? Yes, sir. We'll get them in here somewhere. So you bring them. Let God do something for them. Amen? Yes, sirree. Amen. All hearts and minds clear. Brother Charles Worley, you dismiss us, please.
Thank you. Thank you.